everyone. Welcome to episode 7 of John's Basement. I'm here today in my basement. And what you actually just listened to is my new intro. Very, very happy to have one. It's very cool. If you listened to my episode last week, you actually would have heard the artist who made it. It was made by Matt Crane, who I plugged last week. So huge shout out to Matt for that awesome intro. I'm very excited to use it in all the episodes going forward. And I'm going to give him a little shout out too. If you listened to him last week, you know he's an artist himself, but he also mixes and masters and does a lot of producing. So if you're an artist, you need someone to master your upcoming release and you don't know how to do that yourself, fret not. Reach out to Matt Crane. Super talented dude. Very nice guy, and I went to high school with him, and I vouch for him, and I'll give you his Instagram so you can DM him for all of your mixing, mastering, production-related needs. It's Make It Crane on Instagram. That is Make It Crane, spelt K-R-A-N-E. Thanks again, Matt, for that intro, and I'm going to roll right into this episode. The first artist that I'm going to be featuring today is actually also the guitarist of my band. His name is Nick Spatero. He goes under the alias Nick Spat. And this is his debut single off of his solo project, which is just under his own name, called Body on Me. A hometown hit, if you would. Huge shout out to Nick, my very talented guitarist who also masters all of our songs now. And we are in the process of furthering Spitfire's discography, which I'll get to later. Here is Body on Me by Nick Spat.
Girl, you know how I feel about you. When you're next to me, I can barely breathe. I know you know just what you're doing. Coming on to me, cause I can see there's more to you than what you say. So baby, stop with all this misdirection. Tell me what you're drinking too much, you've been thinking too much while we're talking so much. Put your body on me. Every time I'm with you, babe, I know you want your body on me. So why are you holding back if you want it so bad? All you really have to do is put your body on. Put your body on. Body on me. Just come over, babe. Lead the way and show me what you want me to see. I can feel you getting closer to me, baby. Take one more step in my direction. Put your body. Your body on me. I've been
drinking too much, you've been thinking too much. Why we're talking so much? Put your body on me. Every time I'm with you, babe, I know you want your body on me. So why you holding back if you want it so bad? All you really have to do is put your body on me. Put your body on me. Body on me.
I think you can very comfortably say that Body on Me is a vibe, and a very good vibe at that. Thanks again, Nick, for keeping your talents out there in the world and writing all your tunes. And thanks again for being in my band and writing and mastering my tunes. Very, very helpful. Yeah, I mean, if I'm going to talk about Nick a little bit, I went to high school with Nick. It's really funny because I remember Nick was always the really talented, popular kid that I was afraid of because I thought he would want nothing to do with me. And in around, I think it was junior year of high school, the two of us were in a college-level history class together. And that's where we kind of met officially. And we talked a lot in that class. And by talking a lot, I mean, like, barely talked. But we did talk, and I remember back then Buster was drumming for me pretty frequently. I didn't have, like, an official band yet. It was just kind of, Michael had, like, by that point basically been my bassist, but it was still, like, technically, like, called my solo project. And Buster was filling in on the drums because he's a good guy like that. And I remember there was, we had an upcoming show, and I was, like, to Nick, I said, hey, I know you play guitar really well, and I'm a big fan, and I was wondering, would you want to join my band, playing one song or two songs at our upcoming show? And he was, like, super into the idea. We played our song Hurt Again, and I just sang for that one. That was the first time I think I got to put the guitar down for Spitfire. And we also did a cover of Aerosmith's song, Same Old Song and Dance, which was really fun. A nice little classic rock jam that we got to do as a band. And that was this is the first time that Spitfire saw a four-piece, too, I think. So that was really fun. And then fast forward about a year later, I had, by this point, Michael and Jake were official members of Spitfire, and we were planning a tour. And I wanted him to play for, like, the full show, for at least one show. And I was like, hey, can you do it? And he was like, yeah, absolutely. And the show went really well. At that point, it was most definitely, like, our most insane crowd, and it was really good. People, like, reacted really well, and everyone loves seeing Nick. A lot of people came just to see him, so that was awesome. And then we added, like, three more shows to that rotation, and he was like, when's the next show? And I was like, do you want to be in the next show? And he was like, hell yeah. And from there on, he's been, like, the official member of my band. And I'm very happy. He's a very cool guy, and I'm very happy to have his talents on my team. The next song that I am about to play for you guys is called Robot by a band called Depressed from the Florida area. They are a signed Rugrat Records artist, and I hope you guys enjoy it. We'll be right back. Once again, that was Robot by a band from Florida called Depressed. They are a Rugrat Records signed artist, making them our second Rugrat artist to be featured on this radio show / podcast. I'm very happy to put them on the show. Their bio that I was also sent that they wanted me to read is, Depressed is an American rock band located in Bunnell, Florida. The band was formed in 2017 by the guitarist and vocalist Samuel P. Esquire and drummer Ty Leadfoot Luth under the name Couch Change. Joined in 2018 by bassist Zach Jameson, the band changed their name to Depressed and was later joined by guitarist The Savage. Depressed, alongside Ron Lung, opened their studio, Broken Step Studio, in 2019. The band released their full-length debut album, Before AC, through Broken Step Studio in April of 2020. Also, they love beer. Their album, Before AC, can be found on Bandcamp, Spotify, and YouTube. Thanks again to Depressed and Rugrat Records for submitting their songs. Check them out. That's going to take me into our third and final artist for tonight's episode. This is a band that I met actually at a music festival at the Jersey Shore back in, I think, 2017, but it's not their native too. They are actually from Indiana, and they are an awesome super group of very talented musicians called the Indigos, and I am a huge fan of their sound. It is so many things thrown into one, but I will let you decide that for yourselves. I'll read their bio in a couple of seconds after I play it, but this song that I'm going to play is one of my favorite songs of all time. Happens to be by them, called The Groove by the Indigos. Hope you guys like it.
Shout out on down. Macy Ann, everybody. Yeah.
The Indigos are one of my favorite bands that I have come into contact with through playing music myself. As I previously touched upon, I met them at the Jersey Shore Music Festival back in, I think, 2017 when I was playing with my band Fracture. We were staying at a condo up the street from where the festival was being held, and I remember walking out the front door and hearing this woman's voice that I thought was so mesmerizing that I literally felt like I was being possessed by a Pied Piper of sorts, and I walked all the way down to where they were performing in the parking lot of the motel where I actually had stayed the year prior when I played that festival, one of the motels that sponsors the whole festival, the Hershey Motel. They are so talented, and they're made up of a lot of different members from what I understand, and Macy Ann is a singer who I think does other stuff, but she features with them a lot. She's technically a member of the band, and she had such a powerful voice that it literally drove me to walking like a couple of blocks from where we were staying to just watch the performance that they were putting on, and they were so nice. I ended up actually buying a t-shirt from them. Not a t-shirt, I bought a tank, and I still wear it a lot when I work out, so that's a fun fact that you didn't need. But yes, the Indigos, super talented band, you should definitely check them out. I'm going to read their bio from their Spotify page. The Indigos are a 10-piece funk rock band from Muncie, Indiana. The unique sound of the band stems from the diversity of influences from which the members draw. This resulting wall of sound is an eclectic mix of a funk rock core wrapped with choral vocals and a full horn section with hints of metal tastefully sprinkled throughout. The Indigos have played well over 100 shows in the past 2 years, including venues such as the Viper Room on the Sunset Strip in Hollywood, California, the Vogue Theater in Indianapolis, Indiana, the Indiana State Fair, and Valparaiso, Indiana's Popcorn Fest, in addition to 2016 fair and festival convention showcases for Pennsylvania, Illinois, and Indiana. Drawing inspiration from virtually all styles and periods of music led to the development of the signature band of full vocal and horn sections. Incorporating these sections into the band has given a vibrancy and presence to the music that great vocals and standard rock instrumentation alone cannot produce. As a part of being an Indigo, the band serves as a creative platform, drawing in talented artists from all walks of life to collaborate on doing what they love. Whether someone loves photography, video creation, sound design, web design, fashion merchandising, or countless other creative endeavors, the band does what it can to feature and support the work of as many artists as possible. The Indigos believe that they are here to make the world a better place through their music. Once again, that is The Indigos from Indiana. I am a huge fan. You should absolutely check them out. The song that I just played by them is The Groove. And I am now going to go into the final segment of today's episode, which is an interview that I did with my bassist, once again, Michael Simon, also known as Bulletproof Mike. Here we go. Ahoy there, Miguel.
It's good. How's it going? Thanks for having me on the show again.
Very welcome. Thanks for being on the show again.
Of course. You caught me right after a nap, so it was like a good time.
Perfect time. All right. So you were here in a previous episode, but now it's a radio show too. So look at that.
Damn. Look at that. Ability. That's tight.
I hope you know I'm going to refer to you as a recurring co-host after last episode when you recorded the outro for me.
I'm a co-host now? Hell yeah. We got it.
You can put it on your LinkedIn now.
Ooh, I actually do have to update my LinkedIn. Me too. Thank you for reminding me.
You're welcome. My dad told me I should this morning when I was talking about today's episode.
I just have to put like radio in it.
Me too.
Look at that. Two sides of the same coin.
What would you say is your favorite part and least favorite part of the recording process, both in the quarantine period and in the ordinary period when we're all at Jake's or Nick's house doing it?
I'll start with quarantine first. My favorite part is like I can sit with a part for as long as I want. And, like, really make sure it's, like, what I want to do. Especially because, like, the way we record is, like, you show us a song. We practice it 5 times, give or take. And then you record. And then you take 3 different takes. So you can do different things on each of those takes, but then you can't mess up on any of like the takes if you're doing different things. So I really like, I think it's, you can see with like the new tracks, like they're, the parts are more elaborate, like they're moving more than they are on the other ones. So that's cool. But my least favorite part is messing up, because I will get like 3/4 of the way through a song and then I'll mess up and I have to go all the way back to the beginning. And I think it was Jordan Rudess told me one time, he only knows like this is for when he's practicing for shows, but it works for recording too. He only knows he's like ready to record and he's ready to do anything when he's played it 3 times in a row without messing up. And so I kind of keep that with recording and practicing for shows and stuff. So that's my least favorite part. In person, my favorite part is just like the energy of being there, because it's just really fun. I also really like seeing Nick and Jake scramble trying to figure out what's happening because they don't want to ask Jake's dad. My least favorite part is after I record my part, I'm kind of like, I don't do any audio like mixing. So I record like second or third, no, usually second. And then it's a wait city for like until everyone else finishes their 3 takes or more. And that's not counting like the wait it takes to get everything working.
It's like always a good hour.
Yeah, it is. It's like a long time. And then like, it's always like when you need social media to be active that like it never is. So like I'll be like refresh my Twitter like 20 times and it's the same post on top because just nothing's happening, but I'm so bored that like I need something to happen. But I do like when we order Burger King to Jake's house.
The best.
That's a fun time.
Burger King during a recording session is Burger King like no other time to eat Burger King.
It's strangely never enough Burger King.
No, it's never enough. And like we always order more than we would typically.
Yeah, it's just never enough. I don't know what it is.
If I go to a Burger King just like to go to Burger King, I would be like, all right, I'm just going to get a burger and that's it. But like when we're recording, it's usually like we're usually recording for several hours. And I remember I ordered Burger King because it's cheaper, it's close. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to get onion rings, fries, a burger.
Yes, like 2 burgers, the onion rings, the fries, the zesty sauce, and a McFlurry.
Sauce.
We get a McFlurry from Burger King.
You know, I think next time when the world's normal, we should get White Castle.
Oh my God. I went to White Castle once to have the Impossible Burger. Because they saved that there. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's White Castle. Like, it exists. I got the vibe from being there once.
You know, it's interesting. White Castle makes, like, frozen burgers that you can heat up, and it tastes exactly the same. And I got that, like, 1 year with my family on, like, New Year's Eve. And strangely, it really hit.
Bet.
But otherwise, I don't know who in their right mind would be like, yeah, let's go to fucking White Castle.
Yo, my dad used to love White Castle back when he was, like, a meat eater. There's, like, he tells the story whenever, like, anyone brings up White Castle, like, fast food in general. Fucking, this is not about music at all, so I'm going to tell it really quick. My dad was a music journalist, right? And so he would be, like, doing interviews. He'd go to concerts and stuff, but he'd come home late, and then obviously White Castle was there, it was open. So he would get White Castle, and apparently one time he came home and he walked in the door, like he walked into like his room. My mom was there, they were dating by this point, and she went, take a shower, because he smelled like White Castle, and she did not want it.
It definitely has an odor to it, I will not deny.
Yeah.
But you know what, while we're on the music related to food category.
Taco Bell, Feed the Beat, please sponsor us. I love you.
I was gonna shout out Dunkin' Donuts because I truthfully don't think I've ever gone through any recording session of any sort without getting coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
The one we slept over, we had Starbucks. We didn't have Dunkin'.
No, I got a Dunkin'.
You had Dunkin'? Okay.
Yeah. I got one of the refrigerated ones that you could
No, those were the Starbucks ones.
You got
them Starbucks from CVS.
CVS. I got a Dunkin' one.
All right.
I don't mess with that.
My memory fails. Nah, Dunkin', sponsor us. I love you.
I love Dunkin'. I'm such a fan of Dunkin'. Dunkin' is like, I have Dunkin' Donuts, ground coffee upstairs. I make a whole cup before I try to record anything. When I was in Fracture and we would record, like, one of us would leave at one point, come back with, like, two coffees per person. Both of them were, like, large coffees because, like, you're prepared to spend the entire day if you're recording.
Dunkin' is the only prepared coffee I drink. Like, I'll have, like, Keurigs and stuff while I'm home. But you know that, like, $4 to $6, $2 latte, get that iced latte.
Deal ever. That shit was
God terrible. Bless. All right, anyway, to get back on topic.
Yeah. So
I'm gonna cut that whole part.
Oh no, it's all going in.
Oh no.
I would like to I'll cut out the part about Dunkin'. But but what
Your Taco Bell sponsor us.
Please but sponsor like Taco Bell. What I will mention though is I would like to talk about, so this is for fans of not only Spitfire, but especially Bulletproof Mike. Get to the gig.
Get to the gig. So do you want to like the origins of that?
Get everything on Get to the Gig here.
All right. It was when we were doing shows. So it was sophomore year because that's when I started posting because we were doing them at the Niagara Center. So sophomore year, I had this quirky thing called white boy depression. So I listened to a lot of like Mom Jeans. And also on the same label Mom Jeans is on, there's this band Retirement Party. And Retirement Party is so good. When's this coming out?
Tonight.
On Friday, Retirement Party comes out with the new album, Runaway Dog, stream Runaway Dog. Anyway, so I was following their Twitter, and I can find it probably, but they posted a meme where I don't remember anything else about the meme, but it was like a starter pack, and they had like Chucky from All Grown Up on it, and the words like "Get to the Gig," and I was like, "Hold up, like wait a minute." And so I just started saying that at like every show, like regardless of like if I was playing it or if we just like put it together. And I don't think that we've done a show where I haven't posted Yet to the Gig. Oh no, we did one and it was a bad show. I think it's like the good luck charm. I have to post Get to the Gig.
A good luck
charm for every show.
It's literally a good omen. I remember that because I remember the Delancey gig that we played was like by all the worst gig we've ever played. It's also coming up on its 1 year anniversary, I think, in 2 days.
God bless.
Bad show for so many reasons.
I have all the Polaroids from that show right here.
It was awful. I remember we got there. We were that's the one at Dead End's release party. That was the one in Teaneck.
I thought that was Delancey.
No, that was...
Oh, the Delancey was our first New York show.
Yeah, that was Debonair Music Hall in Jersey. That show wasn't great, but I just think that a mix of our music choice for it didn't go over as well, and it wasn't our crowd.
Yeah, it was definitely their crowd.
But, no, the Delancey sucked because... I'm not saying the venue, I'm saying that show sucked because... I remember
it was on like a Wednesday.
It was a Wednesday. Yeah, that was the starters because it
at like 5 p.m.
Yeah, so the Delancey has a rule, and a lot of Manhattan venues are like this. They have a rule that if you're under 21, you can play a venue usually, but you can't bring under 21 guests no matter what time it is, unless it's like a Sunday show, which is why the Knitting Factory lets play and bring people. But the Delancey doesn't do Sundays, they do Saturdays. Which also Sound the Groove does, but we're under 21, so we can't do it yet, unfortunately. But I remember that was awful because I could only sell like 4 tickets. So, because it was a Wednesday night and it was under 20, it was a 21 plus show. So anyone that would have come for us on a Wednesday was under 21, so they couldn't come. So we went basically to an empty room. It was like literally the sound guy, my two aunts, and my dad, your dad,
and Sean.
Sean and Sean's friend Sam.
Yeah, and Sam showed up, and we didn't think she was going to.
Yeah, and that was, like, it. That was the whole crowd. And then within, like, the first song, I broke a string.
The fucking trainer.
Rick was having trouble with the volume on his amp, and the sound guy was like, no, it's fine. I'll adjust it. But it was, like, so much louder than my amp. So I couldn't hear myself for, like, the entire show, too. And then also, I think Jake broke a stick. I don't think that's ever happened to Jake at a show that I've played with him in, like, the literal, like, 5 going on 6 years that I've been in a band with Jake. I've never seen him break a stick at a show before. And it was just, and then they kicked us out, like, immediately after we played because we were under 21. They're like, you have to leave. And I was like, can we just wait till my dad gets here with the car? And they're like, nope. So we had to, like, wait on the side of the street. And we were still all psyched. We were like, we played New York City. We're all happy.
Yeah. Worst. And then, like, we got in the car and, like, it slowly, like, dawned on us.
Yeah.
Like, how bad it was.
Oh, it was awful.
I did make a post for that. Yeah, but it wasn't Get to the Gig.
That was the show. So, like, that's when we realized Get to the Gig is the good luck charm of Spitfire.
Yeah. I've posted Get to the Gig literally seconds before we go on stage.
And it matters.
But, like, it works. It does its thing. I think if we ever play, like, stadiums or whatever, I'll still post Get to the Gig. Like, I think that's just one of those things.
I want to see it at, like, Madison Square Garden, like,
Get to the Gig.
Jake playing the drums, like, in a warm-up, and you just, like, Get to the Gig on an Instagram boomerang.
No, that's tacky as hell. I take those static shots.
Bulletproof Simon official.
That's disgusting.
I would also like to talk about Bulletproof Mike, your official alter ego.
Yes. I just got an email from Pace Financial Aid.
Let's go.
Bulletproof Mike happened one day because you were bored. It literally has no origin besides you were bored and you can't fuck with Jake or Nick. But, like, you know you can fuck with me.
It's not.
Can I swear?
Of course you can swear. I put the explicit setting on these.
All right. Fuck. So, yeah, you just said you were going to, like, mess with me. And then I don't remember if, like, you texted it to me or I found out one day, like, organically. Because, like, I check, like, every day, like, our about page to see, like, our playlists and whatnot. But it just said Bulletproof Mike. And then I texted you. I was like, please take it down. And you said, no.
I said once, I think at the time it was, was it Growing Up? I said, once Growing Up reaches 1,000 streams, I'll take it down. And then we hit 2,000 streams and it's still up.
It's just still up. Did you take it? You took down that I would, aka the enemy, right?
I took out the enemy, yes.
That's got its own little story about it, but we'll save that for another episode. yeah, so that's where Bulletproof Mike comes from. I really do think, like, I'm gonna get shot because of that.
Well, you won't die because you're bulletproof.
Like, I think I'm gonna get, like, John Lennon. Just.
I don't think so, because it'll just bounce off of you, and you'll be fine.
No, but, like, someone will be like, oh, yeah, he's bulletproof, I can shoot him, and then, like, I get shot, I'm dead, the end.
See, but if we're at that level, like, everyone knows you as Bulletproof Mike, so you die, like, super successful and famous.
Yeah, but, like, I don't want to get shot.
I'm giving you a martyr story, man.
Dude, I don't like needles. Can you imagine what a bullet would do to me?
Nothing, because you're bulletproof.
That's fair. All right, next question.
No, I would like to point out, though, that I think I actually changed it back to just Mike Simon on the About page. But Sound the Groove, shout out to our beloved regular booking agency that we use to play in Brooklyn.
We love you, Sound the Groove.
Sound the Groove asked for a bio so they can add us to their website. So I copied the About page from our Spotify, not thinking about it. And I think it had the enemy up there too at that point. So forever will Sound the Groove have Bulletproof Mike, aka the enemy, on their official website whenever anyone looks on their website of artists to find out about us.
I have. Okay, no, Bulletproof Mike is still on the About page.
Oh, word.
Oh, we're on a new playlist. Oh. The Best Bellboy. Very cool. I have a sad story for you.
Let's hear it.
That page is gone. I think it'll come back next time we book a show with them.
Wait, what pages?
The Spitfire page. On Sound the Groove.
Oh, we've been blacklisted.
Oh.
It's probably under construction. I actually have been meaning to reach out to them because they're doing live streams and I'd love to be on one.
Yes, sir.
Major shout out to them.
Thank you, Jonathan Avila, Sound the Groove.
Really cool dude. Sup, Meng? I love that guy.
Sup, Meng?
We
fully picked that up off of him.
I did. It's great. It's like my favorite thing to say.
What's up, Meng?
The story behind that is John Avila, I think, actually. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. He is the CEO of the booking agency Sound the Groove, as we formally have just mentioned.
Sir?
He texted me at like right after New Year's with like the words, like a very excited text message, like, sup, Meng, are you ready to conquer the world in 2020? Because I am. And it was like the best energy that I've ever gotten from a text message. I was like, I have to match this energy. I was like, hell yeah, I'm ready. And then the COVID-19 pandemic.
It's like corny as fuck to say like anything about vibes, but his vibes are fucking immaculate.
Great, they're the best.
I literally have never like spoken to this dude, but like he's just so tight.
He's on the West Coast and I love him. He's like one of my favorite people to work
too with. Ready
too ready. And then there's Kaz, the coolest dude on the block.
Yeah, Kaz is tight. He's just, he knows what he wants to do at his show and like I respect that.
It happens. I love him. I love Sound the Groove.
Yeah,
I'm tagging
Sound the Groove.
So yes, next topic. I would like to talk to you about our upcoming releases. Any songs that you would like to talk about that you want the world to look out for?
So the techno song, I think that's really gonna throw our listeners for a loop.
What about the folk rock with
The folk rock epic?
Yeah.
Like that that seamlessly transitions into a Baroque pop outro. That shit is crazy, dog. I put this on Twitter, but like the part for Good Vibrations, like it's so easy, but like it makes me so happy.
It's a good song. Like it's like an uplifting song, which for us I feel like is very different.
Yeah. Considering all of our songs about suicide and heartbreak.
Whoa. Only like two
and
of our songs are
and the skies. And growing up and whatnot. No, Good Vibrations is just like it's a fun song. The part like makes me smile. Yeah. I think it's gonna be an interesting album, LP2, and can't wait to see how we name it.
Me too.
We don't even know.
Don't know. I'm really siding towards New York is on fire.
New York's on fire.
No, I was thinking about something though. I was really thinking about the concept of using like an image from like Times Square being completely empty and it just being
no,
like,
New York is we can't
something. But yeah, no, but then I'm like, nah, I don't want this album to be like I want this album to come out. And I want it to be known that we made an album during the pandemic, but I don't want this album to become more like propaganda for the pandemic, if that makes
sense. No, the thing is like no one's going to want to talk about the pandemic. Like it's not going to be fun. You can't market literally anything about it.
Right. People want escapism right now. People don't want to talk about the bad shit that's happening right now. Dealing with it. They want to get their minds off of it for an hour.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that our new album provides the means to do that.
Me as well.
So what are you recording on? Let's see that axe.
Alright.
Or I guess let's talk about it, because for our audio listeners, they cannot see it.
So this is my Music Man 5-string Stingray. I love it. It's currently tuned a half step down. Anyway, here's Longview. It's like good. I love this bass. My dad got it from a Facebook Marketplace group because there's like a tiny problem with like the middle knob. He got it last summer, and he did not tell my mom he bought it at the time. Now she knows, but that's a little fun story. I don't know. I love it a lot. I couldn't really tell you about the pickups or anything, but I play. What?
I just love that. It's a five string. We have a five string in our band.
Yeah.
Ow. I
now also have a six string.
Oh my God.
Also from Facebook Marketplace. The input is broken on it, so I haven't really gotten a chance to plug it in and play around with it, like plugged in, but like I do play. Also, the E is a little fucked up.
So,
but
six string bass, just like a guitar, just down an octave.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how this one is tuned. There's like different tunings for six string basses, but this one specifically is like a guitar.
Very interesting. Like, I see the headstock of it, and I'm just like, I keep thinking it's a guitar, but not. It's simply.
It's not. It's just a bass.
Gigantic bass.
Just a Fender, too. It's a Squire. It's a Squire.
Honestly, Squire basses hit. Like, they're fun to play.
I have a lot of fun playing this, even though I can't plug it in.
I've been having a lot of fun with the Hard Luck Kings guitar that I got around my birthday. The pickups are, like, decent. For a guitar that I spent under $200 for, it's definitely a good purchase.
Yeah.
But I love it. The neck is so, like, thick. It's like a very Les Paul-esque kind of neck, and I love that so much. So shout out to Hard Luck Kings if they're listening. They probably aren't, but I'll tag them in this anyway.
Yes, sir.
I do love that guitar. I'm really bummed out. I wanted to play it live because it's so pretty. It's a red. It's called the Hard Luck Kings Spider. It's a red like Thunderbird shape, and I love it a lot. I might record with it because it does sound good, and I could do some nice chord work on it. I've been miking up my deluxe hot rod amp for some of the songs, but I also, I think for By the Bridge, I actually recorded my guitar parts on the Blackstar mini travel amp that I have, which is like surprisingly really good with like getting a good tone for such a tiny little thing. It sounds like a tube amp. It's a shame too.
Oh, and I also use a Scarlett, a Focusrite Scarlett 2i4 DI box into Ableton Live 9 Lite, and that's how I record.
I started using Reaper as of I think a week and a half ago. Sam Miller, who I will be featuring on this podcast in hopefully next week's episode. He is in his own band called Chasing Sunsets, but more well known for having his Instagram account, formerly Divide by Zero, now just Sam Miller Guitar. And he's got like close to 12,000 followers on that account. He posts like daily covers, and he has such a specific but like accurate ear for tone. And he's really smart with production. And he was like, what are you mixing in? And I said, Audacity. And I'm like, I know, everyone shits on me for it. And he's like, no, Audacity can work. It just doesn't work for you. And I was like, huh? Because I sent him a vocal part. We were working on a cover for like an Instagram video of Breaking the Girl by the Chili Peppers. And for some reason, every time I exported the file to him, it sounded so much better on my end, but it sounded like it came through on my laptop speakers for his end.
Interesting.
So he tried it. He's like, all right, this is what you're gonna do. Get Reaper. It's free. So much better. And he showed me how to use Reaper, and I did it, and it's like a million times better. So I don't know if a DAW can really have like a difference in quality, but mm-hmm. I really strongly feel like Reaper sounds better than Audacity, because for some reason my mic just doesn't record as fragile on it. Like, I don't peak at all, but I haven't changed any mic settings. Like, I just simply went from like Audacity to Reaper with everything else consistent, and it just sounds like 10 times better. It's like crazy. So, Bulletproof Mike, do you have
a
statement for our listeners. This is going to be live on the air in about 3.5 hours. Anything to say to them?
Please stream Spitfire. Respect each other. Yeah, just be good to people. Like, it's not hard. That's it. Oh, stay the fuck inside.
And this concludes episode 7 of John's Basement Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. If you're on WCOV.live, thank you for listening. And if you're listening to this as it is uploaded to Spotify and Quadio later on, thank you for listening also. I'm going to play myself out with my song Dance by my band Spitfire. And thank you for being a wonderful audience. Have a wonderful night, everyone.
Just listen to John's Basement with Nick Spat. Oh, wait, do it again. All right, because there's too big of a pause. Ready? You just listened to John's Basement with Nick Spat, Depressed, The Indigos, and me, Michael Simon. Stay the fuck inside.